The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Sydney, Australia, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is This Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We'll voice it for you. We'll talk about everything on its time. No holds barred radio, folks. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, politics, film, TV. You name it, we talk about it. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, how are you?
I'm good, Buff. I felt like you hesitated a little bit when you said to the streets of, because, I mean, I don't even know.
I'm like all over the place. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you know where you are right now, Bruce?
I'm in my office.
Okay, well, and what's
that's all I know.
What state
all
and
I know
country
is
that?
I left for Paris last Thursday, got there Friday. I said this on the show last week. Did the show Saturday, got home on Sunday. Now I'm going to Australia tonight, which is Wednesday. It's UFC Road Warrior time. It's what happens. And
you're gonna get on a plane tonight, Wednesday night, and then arrive like sometime Friday. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. You'll get that day back on your way back, but man,
it's like time travel, TJ. I leave Monday at like 11 in the morning from Sydney, Australia, and I arrive back here at 8 in the morning on Monday, 3 hours before I left Australia.
Yeah, no, it's bonkers. And I mean, Bruce, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm not, again, woe is us, right? Like, we're complaining about traveling the world and having some
of the best
job.
We're doing what we love.
Right,
there's
right,
no complaints.
Right. But my point is like, I sometimes feel when I go to Boston, like when we went to Boston a couple weeks back, like, that's just a 3 hour jaunt. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the smaller time changes affect you almost more.
Not really for me.
See, like, the reason why I say that is, like, when it's 3 hours out in Boston, like, I'm a guy who doesn't go to bed until, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Out in Boston, that's 4 o'clock in the morning out there. So then, you know, I got to wake up still at, like, 8 a.m. their time to do stuff that we're supposed to do on the ground. So now I'm, you know, going on 4 hours sleep.
I know. It's crazy. But it is what it is. We love what we do, and we have no complaints. A lot more things. Before we even get into the shows, let's talk about some news, because there's things happening around this country.
I don't even know if I want to, Bruce. At this point, like, I don't know. I've said this a couple times on the show. Like, do you remember when we first started the show? The two biggest topics that we ever talked about outside of, you know, the UFC and mixed martial arts were Charlie Sheen and the situation.
Well, that either means that the show wasn't as deep as it is today.
Simpler times, Buff.
What's that?
It was just simpler times.
It's amazing, because simpler times were many years ago, before phones, before internet, before whatever.
Sure.
Now we have all that, and yet simple times was 16 years ago or 17 since we started the show.
Yeah.
And it's not an example of our intelligence level and what we talked about. It was an example of just the simplicity, like you said, of times. It's not simple anymore. Well, and let's go into why it's not simple anymore.
And just real quick, last thing. Just Charlie Sheen, you know, and his winning and all that nonsense and the situation, as you called the guy from Jersey Shore.
No offense, but yeah.
But, like, those were the craziest moments in society. Like, those were the things that were people were going, well, look at Charlie Sheen, he's crazy.
Not the case now. I mean, right now we've got smash and grabs. The thing that happened the other week with the teens, going crazy, attacking people here at Del Amo Mall, at two or three other malls across the country.
Yeah. Did you happen to see that clip that Henner Gracie put out of the guy basically stopping the mob, in Torrance?
Well, he came in and trained at Henner's.
That's unbelievably awesome.
Well, the man's a hero.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one time it was said to me, and I'm not trying to act tough, okay?
Mm.
But you're in a situation like that. You've got 13, 14-year-old kids who are capable of killing anybody and hurting anybody just as much as a 23, 24-year-old man.
And they do so without even understanding what they're doing. That's the thing.
Right. And it's almost like the mentality is set to be just the future criminals of this world. I don't know if they're going to retract back and learn their lesson. I hope they do.
Yeah.
And become better people. But, you know, it's like, if I'm in a situation like that, and God forbid I'm with somebody, my mom, friend, girlfriend, whatever right. the situation might be in the future at that time. How do I react? Well, you got to react the same way as ever. You got to protect yourself. Obviously, I'm not going to purposely hit anybody or do whatever.
But, right.
You know, a 13, 14-year-old kid comes at you or a bunch of them come at you, then I praise this man. He got in. He broke them up. He didn't throw a punch. No, he got them away.
20 people surrounding him.
But had a couple come at him, I would have no problem if he decked him.
Oh, and I think that he was making that very clear. Otherwise, they wouldn't have stopped in their tracks. And I hate to say this. I understand that we've talked about the stores not defending the merchandise and things like that. But like, I honestly feel if one video went viral of just one of these knuckleheads getting knocked out hard, it's going to send a message.
Hopefully it'll send a message. But, you know, we're living in a society where people don't read, people don't watch, people sit on TikTok for 4 hours a day or whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Will the message get out? That's the whole point.
I mean,
these are I don't want to say they're all ignorant, but do you think that these smash and grabbers are sitting there looking at CNN every day?
I think that they're looking at social media, and I think that one of those videos going viral on social media, because
oh, in respect to that, yeah.
Yeah, then they'd see it. But I don't know. Like, I hate to say this. I hope there's no justified reason that they're doing this, right? So don't get mixed up when I say this. But I hope there's some sort of desperation there that is causing them to do this. Because honestly, on the outside looking in, Bruce, these mobs of kids doing it, they just seem like it's a thrill, right? It doesn't seem like they're doing this to make sure that they can get some food for their family or that they have what they need to get by.
Well, you see examples of maybe some of that might be the case or
sure.
a lot of it. We all live in nice neighborhoods, whatever the case might be to
not
a degree.
Not all of us.
Well,
I mean,
nicest neighborhoods now. I mean, you know, there's home invasions, there's robberies.
Right.
There's been a
yeah. You're not safe anywhere, Bruce.
Pardon me?
You're not safe anywhere. Like
you're not safe anywhere.
High-end houses, I think, I mean, I hate to say it, I think high-end houses tend to be the target more often these days.
So what's going to stop a situation where 10 cars come in with 40 individuals
well,
in a city in an affluent neighborhood block and they smash and grab houses for 30 minutes before the cops get there well, or there's too many of them that it's numbers and it doesn't work?
I'll tell you. I mean, we live in America and, you know, we have the right to defend ourselves in our homes by pretty much almost any means necessary.
Well, a lot of. Yeah.
You know,
within reason when you're in fear for your life.
Right.
And I'm not trying again, not trying to act like a tough guy. But, you know, that's what it's coming down to.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You've got to protect your home. You got to protect your homestead. You got to
right.
protect yourself. And a lot of these I'm noticing now that these department stores where they weren't reacting, guards are now reacting, stopping them.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Whether it's the guard, a worker
yeah.
or one of these idiots.
Right. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt. None of them, really, honestly.
I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but if you pay, if you play, you
right.
have to pay.
But again, you know, and that's the thing too. Like I said, I want to see one of these, you know, dummies get knocked out. I don't necessarily want them to be hurt. I just want that message to be sent. You know what I mean?
But I don't want it to be an increasing sense of violence that now increases
right.
the perpetrators to
yeah.
be more violent in their acts, which
yeah.
could be even worse. The bottom line is we're seeing a change going on in this country as well as this world, but it's this country right now and dealing with the subject matter of what we're discussing at this point right now.
I mean,
that is horrifically disappointing and horrifically horrible to see.
What do we need, Buff? Do we actually need like armed guards outside of these department stores? Like, I don't know.
You can't just shoot these people coming in.
I know
a lot of the guards, are they
them,
equipped?
But I mean, how many of the security guards have guns? Like mall cops have maybe pepper spray, maybe.
Then use it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe these stores need to just make it so if there's a smash and grab or like an organized mob comes in, the workers just press a button. They got 30 seconds to get out the store and, you know, steel doors come down and tear gas is launched.
Stores are instructing their people not even to interfere.
Right, but I mean, if you just press a button, run out the store and you trap them all in and tear gas them, done.
All right. That's a movie to be made yet, but who
maybe,
knows? I mean,
but again, like, I don't know. That's better off than just letting them run away. What are they
know.
Doing
I don't
with
know
this
if
stuff,
the
Buff? That's the
Did
thing
you see?
The thing I don't understand. Like, how are they turning the stolen goods around? Like, is it easy to sell a Louis handbag?
I don't know, because I'm not one of those people.
Right.
I have
that's
no idea.
And you wouldn't ever buy a handbag from a guy on, you know, Craigslist or whatever.
No, because I'm not going to. No.
Of course.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I'm not going to buy anything off Craigslist. Maybe that just says I'm real bougie. I don't know, but I don't know.
Listen, if you see somebody walking around with all respect in a neighborhood where the average income is, you know, average income, which is what, 50 some thousand a year for the average American?
I mean,
I'm not sure what the quote is now.
Out here in Southern California, it better be 100,000 or you're broke.
Well, let's just say it's anywhere in the country where it's 50,
yeah, it's
even 100,
50 grand,
and you
yeah.
see somebody walking yeah. around with a $5,000 Louis Vuitton bag. It's kind of like very extreme purchase.
Credit cards are a hell of a thing, you know, and people tend to use that. I mean,
good for them. Be happy, and people should buy whatever they want. We're getting a little off the subject here right now. I don't think so, Buff.
Like, I think that, like you said, this is the world we're living in. This isn't off subject. Like, our priorities are messed up, because that's the thing too. Like, if we were seeing people do this in like grocery stores, I think that would send the message of like, okay, the cost of living is too high. People need to eat, and you know, desperate times, desperate measures. But they're stealing high end luxury items that, unless you're flipping it and selling it, which again, you and I it can be very hard to sell 30 Louis Vuitton handbags without, you know, getting in trouble somewhere.
No question.
But again, like, these people are trying to get these items that are just frivolous items. They're not items to get by. And I think that's what is, you know, the hardest part for me in all of this is you're looking at the youth prioritize the wrong things. And I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with not getting items at all. I think it's the thrill of it, which is why you see these people doing it.
Yeah, then you also see them going into, you know, the CVSs of this world and other places taking stuff, which I'm sure maybe they do need. You know, there's all variables involved here.
But, I mean, have you ever seen the stats of, like, where really rich people get off on stealing something that they could buy 100,000 times over? Like,
no, I've not seen those stats.
It's just, it's people are, is it kleptomaniac? Is that what it means when you steal something?
Oh, God, that's funny. I haven't heard this word in a long
time.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there are people that get off on it in a way where it's like, yeah, you could buy that, you know, makeup from Walgreens, but for whatever reason, you just think it's awesome to, like, kind of put it in your pocket and see if you get in trouble.
Agreed. You know, anyway, but getting back to this real quick, as we're on top of the subject.
Yeah.
Nordstrom's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they just closed the first Nordstrom store.
Yeah,
was in San Francisco. It's been open for 35 years.
Right,
and they just closed it because of what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, brick and mortar, I think, is going by the wayside, and like that's unfortunately what I think the end game of all of this is. If you're you know ripping off these stores, the only thing that they're going to be able to do at some point is just stop being a brick and mortar store, and you're not going to be able to go shopping anywhere anymore, and then we're going to lose jobs, and then that's going to make the situation for the people that don't have enough money even worse.
I agree, and you know, we'll see where it's going to go. It's just horrible. I'm almost like dumbfounded.
Yeah,
you know, as far as how to react anymore to this, but let's just see how it develops. It's hopefully that it goes away, but I'm afraid it's not.
Yeah,
like a lot of things. There's another couple things in the news here. We're going to get over past this point, because I think we haven't beat this with a stick, and not to coin a pun, because maybe some things should be beat with a stick. Did you see the video of the one guy in CVS that was coming in multiple times? He robbed the same store.
What?
And the owner, they stopped him and they started beating him with like a large stick, flagpole type stick.
See, this is why I don't.
Now I think the owners are being under investigation for potential criminal charges.
Get out of here.
Who knows, maybe this guy will get an attorney and turn around and civilly sue them because he's robbing them and yet he gets beat.
I'm hoping that, you know, that would be a jury trial and no jury would be able to, you know.
Yeah, that's one that nobody would be able to convict.
Right, I would hope, but, you know, it is 2023. Things happen that I don't understand all the time. But that's the one thing that I think is interesting about living in a big city here is, you know, in Orange County and you know, Los Angeles, Southern California, where we live, I don't have a relationship or know my local clerk at the gas station, right? Where in Minnesota, like, I knew them, like, because it was the one person that was always working there at that time, and, you know, there was nobody behind me, so you'd end up striking up a conversation. Like, in certain areas of the country, there's no way that you would ever be able to go into any store multiple times and not be recognized immediately. In Southern California,
agreed,
you can do it a bunch.
Here, let me, while we're on the subject of crime,
mm-hmm.
You probably read this. You know, I was in Paris last weekend.
Right. Yeah.
For the UFC. Cyril Gane, victorious.
Looked phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And just the strike numbers versus, you know, Spivak were unbelievable. Crazy. And a hell of a night of fights. And again, while we're on the subject, thank you to the French, Parisian UFC
Merci
fans
beaucoup,
that were there.
Buff. Look at you doing the French over there, by the way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I try to give a certain flavor whenever I'm in any country, as you know. And I'll do that in Australia, too, but in English with certain things I like to say down in Australia. But every country deserves that. But the Parisian fans, the French fans that were in the audience, the energy was unbelievable. I posted a video on my TikTok account, posted a video on my Instagram and Twitter of their reaction. Just they speak French and they're just coming back to me with the main event of the evening and it's time and all that. They love their UFC.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the energy was electric. It was so much fun to announce. Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup. To everybody in France for your courtesy and everything else. I apologize for my quick in and out trip, but it was all about the show and I was there for the show.
Hey, quick, can I make an MMA joke that only hardcore fans will get?
Go ahead.
Were there a lot of Parisian fans there?
I have to assume.
Right, yeah, a lot of Parisian fans. I mean, it's crazy that Caro is still that popular today.
What is?
Caro Parisian.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I got it. Well, for people that are not diehard fans, they might not know what Caro Parisian is, with all respect to Caro, because he's a great guy.
Oh, man. If he was in charge of mob control, people would be getting dumped on their heads.
Oh, my God. No question. With Caro, there's no question. But getting back to this, get this. Cyril Gane's home was burglarized.
No.
He knew he was gone. No. It was burglarized. The damage was assessed at 150,000 euros, which is roughly $162,000, which I understand a lot of that was cash.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. A Rolex watch and jewelry were missing.
Okay. So it's items. It's not necessarily damage. Like,
that was the value of the items.
Yeah.
That's
a
shame.
They weren't ripping out walls. They weren't, removing studs, but
but that's a shame. Comes home victorious.
I don't care if Cyril Gane is literally in the octagon and I have a live feed of that. Could you, without fear, tiptoe around that man's house just in case somehow you're wrong and he's actually still in the house? Because that's the last guy I would want to deal with coming down the hallway mad at me.
Stupid is as stupid does, my friend.
Ooh.
And you know, then you have another situation where Dana White put up a video of a guy trying to bust open his front door of his house, right? And yet they found the guy and they arrested him.
Yeah.
Right? There's another crime thing. Crime is touching all of us. I mean, I've had a couple homes within blocks of me that have home invasions over here.
That's insane. It's insane. You know? I mean, we talked about it earlier. You're really not safe anywhere, so you got to make sure you protect yourself. I do it in the form of two English bull terriers. One will lick your face and hopefully kill you by, you know, licking your face. The other one will rip out your jugular. But
that works. Listen, if I'm home, everything's here. But when I'm not home, somebody's always here.
Oh, yeah. So. No, 100%. And also, too, I'm surprised you don't have a dog. Like, dogs are so good at knowing, even if it's just a little dog.
I do. I have a I have a big German Shepherd, but it belongs to Kristen.
Right.
Obviously, during work days, it's always here. So
I'm just saying, it's time to get you a dog that stays with you when you're by yourself.
It's in my mind. It's in my future. Just haven't done it yet.
If you want an English Bull Terrier, Buff, I got the guy.
I'm a German Shepherd guy, my friend.
That's fine. But
variations, or I'll go to the, when it comes that time, I'm going to go to the rescue center and, of course, pick out the
good
dog.
Man. Good man.
Be the best thing to do. Here, let's go to another story here. We're done with the crime. Sugar Sean O'Malley got another face tat to commemorate his title. Good for Sugar Sean.
Face tattoos are just so normal now. It's crazy.
What's that?
Face tattoos are just so normal now.
Another thing I will never get. No offense.
I think kudos
to anybody that does.
The fact that you can get them removed now, you can't totally get them removed. You can basically get it to where you can cover it up with something else. But I don't know, Buff. Like, I don't know if there are many things that I would want on my body forever, especially my face.
I would never put something in my body that I wouldn't think I would have one iota chance of taking off my body.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
How many bodies is your face on right now? That's what I want to know.
It's funny you say that, because I was just going through my photo list and I was looking at all the body tattoos, putting them in an album, and I'll probably post them up sometime in the future. because it's an honor, and yet I wonder why anybody would want my face on their body.
Because they're hardcore fans, Buff. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
easily over a dozen I've received,
and I'm sure, like, more often than not, when you see these tattoos, they're next to other big, you know, institutions in MMA. It's not like someone just gets like a one off of you, right?
Oh no,
really?
Many one offs.
Really?
Many one. One fella has his entire knee just my face.
Wow.
Another one. I even the one girl, she did an appearance with me for Puncher's Chance, asked me to sign an autograph, and then she sent me a picture a week later how she had it imprinted on the back of her shoulder.
She had a tattoo.
Just my autograph.
Yeah, it's amazing to me what people will get. But I assume that if people were putting your face on their body, it was like their own personal Mount Rushmore of, you know, influences in their life. But a one-off, man, that's pretty.
There's others. There's many. There's multiples. You know, where's me, Joe Rogan,
right,
together. Dana, you know, a lot of Joe Rogan tattoos out there.
What's amazing to me is how good they look.
It's an honor, and I thank everybody. I just don't know why you want my face on your body, but that's okay.
But, Buff, they look like actual photos now. Like, back in the day, like, I mean, no offense.
Tattoo artists are...
I'm not even going to...
It blows me away.
I'm not even going to say...
It blows me away how skilled they are.
I'm not even going to say which athlete it was, but there used to be a fighter in the UFC that had a celebrity tattooed on one of their arms, and it was just... It didn't look like that person at all. And, we've come a long ways since those days.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Did you hear this crazy story about, well, first off, there's two stories on Delta Airlines right now.
Okay.
Number one is Tom Brady is partnered with Delta Airlines as an advisor. That's weird as heck.
An advisor
isn't it?
To what?
I have no idea how to throw a football while the plane's in the air. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Tom's got much more mental abilities than just throwing a football, but for some reason he's into it. He's become an advisor. He signed a multi-year agreement on Wednesday.
Good for him. Is he doing football commentary this year? Like, I remember he signed a deal with either like NBC or ESPN or something. And I'm curious if that is still something he's interested in.
Yes. No, he did sign the deal. And what I heard last time is it may not start right away.
Okay.
But he does plan on doing that work. And I know he got a very healthy, big, fat paycheck for it, I'm sure.
I wonder how good he's going to be at it. Because, you know, that old saying, like, those who can do and those who can't teach. And this isn't disrespectful, Tony Romo, when I say this.
Those who do don't do, and those who do.
But
those who do.
Those who do, and those who don't, or tell you what to do. I don't know. Again, the saying,
those who do and those who don't teach.
I just said it. Those who can do and those who can't teach. That's what I said like 2 seconds ago.
Or don't do teach. In other words, they have the skills. They don't do it, but they'll teach it.
You're confusing me now.
Okay, well, I think our audience hopefully got the message. But anyway, getting back to Tom Brady.
Let me finish my thought on Tom Brady. I don't know if he's going to be a great analyst. You know, I think he understands the situation. I don't know if he's going to be as good at articulating it to others. Do you know what I mean?
Time will tell. Just like with other great football players have gone behind the desk and they all turned out, most of them turned out really well, but time will tell. But here, getting back to Delta, he's going to be assisting them in developing and advising on strategic training and teamwork tools for their 90,000 workers. Now, if you think about it, he's a born leader. He's a proven leader.
Yeah.
He's a team leader.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him being motivational in that respect.
Sure. The thing that is interesting to me is I think flight attendant crews technically stick together. I think they usually work on like teams of 4 to 6 to 8, depending on how large the plane is. I don't know if pilots stick together. I think that if I'm correct, a lot of captains, their first officers will be different all the time. So I think there could be something to be learned from someone like Brady, who obviously had new teammates, you know, regularly coming, you know, in and out of every new season. No one team is the same identically from the year before. That's interesting. He might actually have some knowledge and capabilities there to pass on in, you know, the real world.
Yeah, no, I think so. Just kind of like a motivational speaker coming in for a moment to speak to a crew, like I've been called in to motivate a team or motivate workers. And I think he's going to be great at it.
Buff, that's a lot of people.
What's that?
90,000.
Well, it's not like he's speaking in front of them. The message will get out to those 90,000 people, but that's the employees.
The advisements that he's going to lend need to be able to speak to all 90,000 people. And I think it's one thing to try to, you know, come up with protocol to help a company, you know, better manage, you know, 9 people or 90 people, but 90,000, dang.
Hey, find out. You know, it's that's why God made Zoom and
videos and everything else. Delta Airlines had they hired Tom Brady. Then they had a situation. Did you hear about this? I've never heard this before in my life.
What is it?
A Delta flight was diverted midair, forcing the plane to turn around and go back to the airport to deal. You know what happened?
Nope.
A Delta passenger sprayed diarrhea everywhere over the plane. He had a massive attack. I saw the video. You see, like, down the whole aisle, there's, like, towels laid down. Obviously, he was trying to get to the bathroom.
Got it.
And he lost himself.
At first, I thought you meant he did it on purpose.
No.
Thank God he didn't mean to do it on
purpose. It was considered a biohazard issue.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, it's feces.
The diarrhea was all the way through the plane, so obviously he was probably running to the restroom at the time.
How does it get all over the plane? How does it get out of your pants?
They put down vanilla scent and disinfect it, which only made it smell like vanilla shite. They had to turn around the plane. I've never heard of anything like this in my life.
What do? You just burn the plane down? You just throw it away?
Like, well, it's massive cleaning, that's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Gross.
Anyway, that's the Delta stories for today. Cameo, in the wake of the strike of the actors and everything, they've had a huge influx of actors now. Offering videos on Cameo. Huge influx.
And right
so
now,
you might want to check it out there. Maybe get your favorite actor. I, you know me, I do a ton of cameos.
You know me, I do none. I do none of cameos.
Well, you never advertise.
I'm advertising right now.
Okay. Everybody, check out TJ DeSantis on Cameo.
Get your Cameo for TJ DeSantis. Right, I don't even know what I'm charging. You told me to up the price because it was cheap. No one bought one.
What do you charge?
Let's see here. I'm trying to pull it up here. Like, I don't even know if the app is still installed on my phone. It is. I'll tell you in a minute. Have you ever ordered a Cameo?
No.
See, I actually ordered one because I made like $100. And it was all off referrals, getting people on Cameo. And I used it to buy my wife a Cameo from Joey Fatone. You don't know that's cool. Do you know who that is?
Of course I do.
Yeah, he was in NSYNC.
I've met Joey. Yeah, I met him.
Let's see. Availability and pricing. What am I charging? $39, Puff.
You start getting orders, bounce it up to $59.95.
I'm going to lower it right now. Bruce Buffer special.
Okay, do what you think is right. While you're doing that,
$19.
We only got about 10 minutes here. Let me go into a couple other things.
Right now, $19.99. Cameo.com/TJ DeSantis. Buff, I haven't sold one in like 2 years.
It's a garage sale, everybody. TJ DeSantis, $19.99 on Cameo. Me, I'm not changing my price.
No, no.
And I'm not raising it either.
See, what I think
I
can do...
And I get partial proceeds to charities.
I can do a pretty good, like, coming up next voice, you know? Like...
Coming up now!
No. See, that's a ring announcer. Like, for me, it's like the combo videos.
Oh,
like
coming up next.
No. Fighting out of Malibu, California, Bruce Buffett returns, ready to prove that he's the best in the world. Straight ahead, it's the voice of the Octagon.
Sounds great.
I can do that for people.
Sounds great.
All right.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, I'm going to rush here because, again, I'm working on getting out of here to Australia.
I know. Got to go down under.
Let me brass through a couple of things, and we'll talk briefly about the show. Aaron Paul, the star of Breaking Bad, you know, he's really upset, as a lot of people said, with residuals. But Netflix is playing the hell out of Breaking Bad, and he gets absolutely no residuals from Netflix.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Crazy. How does that work?
Because if it's on television, you get residuals.
No, that's crazy.
Is it just
I know. This is probably what's part of the strike. It's just nuts when you think about it.
I mean, that's a loophole that SAG's got to fix.
I would love it if I got residuals for every UFC. I'd be opening up checks every day. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, that might be a little bit different. But like, Here Comes the Boom is on Netflix right now. I know you're in that.
I just got a residual check for Here Comes the Boom, but I don't know if it comes from Netflix.
I highly doubt it. I mean, if Aaron Paul can't...
If Aaron's not getting a residual check,
you know,
then I'm not getting one.
He's a television guy, so maybe television is not on track with film? You know what I mean?
TJ, I do not know. I really can't say, but let's go into one other thing. You've seen this rivalry between Dylan Dennis and Logan Paul?
Yeah, it's getting out of control.
What the hell's going on?
It's out of control.
You know, I've met... Logan's a buddy, you know.
He's been on the show.
He's a great guy. And been on the show, friend of the show. His fiance, I met her. She's lovely. This one video he put up, I don't even want to describe it. I mean, I would be livid.
Yeah. Now, livid. Let me ask you this.
Everybody has a right to a pass. If you've dated a bunch of guys in the past, or whatever, a guy who dated a bunch of girls, that's the pass.
Let's not even talk about that. Let's not even talk about that. I'm curious, what are the odds that Logan is in on everything that Dylan's doing? Just to hype this up. No?
No.
We should try to get him on the show.
He's so darn busy. I'll try. I mean, we text each other all the time.
I mean, he owes you one. You were on Impulsive not too long ago.
When I get back from Australia, I'll see if I can bring him on. We'll try to get him on again, talk about his fight, talk about this, and see how he feels about it. But yeah. I just think it's horrible, that kind of low-end, dirty play. But it's going kind of back and forth now a little bit. Logan's throwing stuff back at him. On to another couple things. Elvis Presley's revolver sells at auction for $200,000, one of his pistols. The actual value of this pistol, the one he's selling, is probably in the area of $5,000 or so, but because it was his, it was $200,000. That's... stands to reason. And I love these kind of stories. A thrift store shopper, she bought a piece of art for $4 at a thrift store, right? And she thought it was something special. She just kept it. And years later, she noticed that there was potentially some value to it. So she had it appraised.
Right.
It turned out to be a $250,000 item that's going to be putting up for auction in September. And it's got the signature of N.C. Wyeth, who's a very famous painter.
Yeah.
But I love these stories, you know, because I know I found collectibles in people's, you want to say attics or in their homes. They had no idea what they had. So again, this is a message out to everybody, your grandparents, your parents, you know, the attics. You would be amazed at what could be lying around that could be of value.
Yeah. Yeah.
Value that can be good for your grandparents or good for your parents or good for your family. Or if they're not around anymore, good for you to hold on to and watch as they increase. But a $4 item.
Yeah.
And she's now going to get a $250,000 potential or plus auction payment for it. Good for her.
Well, we know she doesn't need to go in and steal a bunch of Louis Vuitton handbags.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's her mentality either.
It's amazing to me. Garage sales are another big thing. I don't see a lot of garage sales out here in Southern California. I loved going to garage sales back in the day because you would find things, especially, you know, like empty nesters where their kids moved out and they just are trying to get rid of stuff. Man, they're unloading, you know, electronics sometimes. They're high-end, you know, very nice electronics for pennies on the dollar.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Scoop it up.
MedicalEverything.com, our sponsor.
Yeah.
One of our sponsors, along with, of course, Puncher's Chance Bourbon, It's Time Cologne.
By the way, the Puncher's Chance Bourbon on that 360 promotions map for Callum Walsh's fight. How about that?
Yeah, that was so cool. You know, that was, again, Tom Loft where he put that on the map. But I will say that the Undisputed, the new single barrel.
Yeah.
It is selling like hotcakes. This is so good. I'm so proud of this.
How often do you, I mean, when you are, like, we have never really talked about like what you drink. Are you a bourbon guy?
Yeah, I'm a bourbon guy, but I don't drink a lot.
Right.
Okay, but I'm a bourbon guy. When I do, I love old fashions. I love Manhattans. I just like it.
Do you
like,
sip it? Mine ever? Was just called sip it straight?
Puncher's Chance is called one of the top five best sipping bourbons in America. And yes, I like it straight. After I put on my It's Time cologne, and then when I get tired, I'll drink my energy drink.
There you go. Sorry. There you go.
I got to work out after the show.
I'm curious if you're going to put the energy drink in the Puncher's Chance.
Oh, I already have. Tastes delicious.
Yeah.
Puncher's Chance mixes with everything. That's one of the beautiful things about it.
Now, when you sip it, do you put ice in it?
No, straight.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. I don't know anything about drinking. So is that what straight means? I just thought straight meant you didn't put like another beverage in it.
No, straight. And real quick, medicaleverything.com. Here's a medical thing. You know, obviously you've been through childbirth. I was a C-section birth. A lot different now. Months after a woman had a C-section, doctors found a dinner plate sized device inside her 18 months after cesarean birth. How the heck did that get in there?
I think stuff like that happens way more than we think.
It's a retractable cylindrical device.
Yeah. The problem is that is obviously something that's not going to go away. But like, I think that there are gauze and wipes and things like that, that your body just tends to absorb. I think a lot of stuff like that gets left behind, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Because an operating room's a pretty chaotic environment, Buff, you know, sometimes.
It's chaotic. It's like doctors are brilliant, but they're not gods. They practice, so you got to watch after them.
You just hope
with all respect in the world.
They've got a good, you know, sleep. Like transplant doctors are the ones that are insane to me because a lot of them get called in, right? They're on call 24 hours when a organ comes in, you got to go and transplant it.
I think if you're a surgeon, they are on call, but I think a lot of surgeons are pretty much on call for emergencies.
Right, yeah, but you always hope that an on-call surgeon, you know, is not too far removed from his last 8 to 10 hours of sleep.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about the show. Down Under at the Udos, I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'll make sure when I get there. The Bank Arena, Sean Strickland, Israel Adesanya, Sean getting the call to arms as the challenger to go after the middleweight championship, the videos and the... Sean's a pretty funny guy at times.
I'm just curious with Sean, is it orchestrated? Like, I think that a lot of the stuff he says is very much him, and he maybe...
I think it's him. It's not Chael Sonnen orchestrated. I think it's what goes into it. Sean's head. He just has no filter. He lets it go.
Is it good or bad?
Well, you know, recently I did a podcast for this one podcast thing, and I won't mention the name because I'm kind of upset with them.
Okay.
They compiled a compilation of what they asked me about Sean Strickland and what he said at some press conference that I wasn't aware of, but I know Sean can be a little outrageous and, you know, and a little outspoken. And they said, you know, how do you feel about how he spoke about this? And I said, Sean's never said anything bad about me. I have nothing against Sean, but you know, you should always handle yourself. You know, I am always handling yourself with class inside and outside the octagon. I know he says things that are a little outrageous at times.
Right.
You know, and I have no argument with anybody. I just always say, don't put your hands on me. Don't talk bad about me. And then something happens and we have to deal with the situation. I wasn't calling out anybody or anything. I was just answering their questions. They compiled it and made it seem like I was, in essence, almost calling out Sean Strickland.
See,
and
that's the problem.
I'll never do an interview with them again.
But yeah.
And Sean, if you're listening by any chance, nothing was directed towards you.
Yeah.
You're a free spirit. You do what you need to do. But like I always say, handle yourself with class.
Right. And I'm sure if Sean, you know, took that out of context, like it was probably presented, you would have that beef squashed in about 90 seconds. You know what I mean?
Oh, I get no problem talking to Sean. I have no beef with Sean. I want to get in there and announce him like the challenger to win a championship that he has the glorious chance that people dream of to do on Saturday. I'm going to give this guy the biggest introduction I can.
Right. But that's the thing that I hate about, you know, the landscape today. And like, you know, I say this as being a guy who's been in the podcasting space literally since before it started. You know, but when I started my stuff online, we call it radio because it was radio. And now
it's radio.
I mean, this is a damn TV show, what you and I are doing here at this point. But the way that these shows market themselves, unfortunately, is to take things and arrange them so to where it's not necessarily making you say something that you didn't say, but it's presenting it in a light that makes one think, why would he say that? And it's like, that's not really the way it's supposed to come off. Yes, all those words were said in that order, but when you start to cut out a lot in between, it's a problem.
Sean's a focused fighter. He's going to be focused on his fight. You know, we see each other at the hotel or whatever.
I'm not worried about you and Sean. Like I said, you'll handle it.
If anything gets mentioned, it's just two sentences. It's not even an issue.
My issue is the fact that someone's trying to make a name off of presenting you in a completely different way than you were actually coming off. And that's media. It's classless, Buff. Classless.
Yeah. Media. Exactly. Okay, so anyway, I'm looking really forward to seeing Sean fighting for the championship. Israel Adesanya, I think, is an amazing fighter. Sean, you know, totally deserves the shot when in there's doing. It's going to be a very exciting main event. Tui Tuivasa, Alexander Volkov, that's going to be – somebody's going Tim Burton that one, as we know how that goes. That's going to be a very, very interesting fight to watch. I love watching Tai Tuivasa. And I love introducing all the fighters, but – Bam, bam. Yeah, bam, bam.
I
look forward to that.
Well, especially,
Tui's really cool.
Especially in the Southern Hemisphere. My goodness, they're going to go bonkers.
Oh, they got a lot of their favorites here. Tyson Pedro, you know, fighting Anton Tukali. That's, and Justin Toffa and Austin Lane. And show's loaded. Any UFC fans out there, the UFC fans, I'm sure you'll be tuned in to 293. It's going to be awesome. We have to get up very early in Australia on Sunday. I can't fly home till Monday. The crew, John Anik, producer Zach, all our buddies there. We're just going to watch the first week of NFL football. We're going to do the show, go back, take a shower, get out, watch football all day.
How are the Eagles looking?
They're favored to win the championship.
Well, there you go.
So we'll see what happens. One of the favorites right there. I hope I'll be coming out at the Raiders home opener in 2 weeks. I'm waiting for the call to arms, and I hope I get the call. They wrote me today that they'll be letting me know next week.
Well, there you go.
That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. So I will see you all from the Octagon in Australia. I'm very excited. I love going down under. That didn't sound too good. I love going two down under.
Oh, man. I don't know if that makes it any better. I'm just going to edit it out and make it come out of context.
All right. We'll make a note. Edit that out.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Exactly. You're going to put it out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love going down to Australia. The fans are rabid. Sydney, one of the greatest cities in the world. It's so incredible. The food, the people.
Yeah.
The culture, I can't wait to go down there. It's a fantastic trip. I'm glad, unlike Paris, I would have loved to, but I have at least one day to recover, one day to enjoy, and then go to bed very early that night and get up and do the show.
You got to believe, though, that Paris is going to be a once a year spot for the UFC for a long time to come. Being
it was exactly 1 year apart. We might be going there again next September.
I'm sure you will. You know,
the only negative for me is my mom's birthday, but I got back in time to celebrate my mother's 95th birthday, TJ.
And you know, the things that Connie has gone through, Buff, you know, she's a fighter in so many ways. She might be more of a fighter than you, to be honest with you.
Well, I get my warrior spirit from my dad and my mom is there. She's amazing. She's my little girl, man. My mom, I always say this to everybody. I relish and hope you have great relationships with your parents. My mom's been my best friend and just a wonderful lady to me all life. She took care of me my whole life. I will always take care of her. Bottom line.
Yeah. And, you know, the relationship between, you know, a child and parents is always special, but, it's extra special to see when, you know, your mother, you know, has reached this huge age that, you know, we all, knock on wood, can even come close to, let alone, you know, get to. But, it's special to see her at the head of the table. You bringing in the birthday cake on Instagram.
Oh, you saw that, yeah.
Oh, it's great. It's great.
That was great. And Michael was down. Would you believe this is the second time I've seen Michael in 3 years?
Wow.
Because of my travels, his travels, COVID.
Right.
We talk like almost every day, but, you know, right. Second time.
Yeah, and it's always weird to be in touch with someone without seeing them. You know what I mean? Because
just we're both on the road, you know?
Yeah. I mean, think about this. Think about this. I did a podcast every day for like 6 years with one of my co-hosts that I met twice. Twice.
Interesting. It's crazy how those things go. All right, TJ, let's sign off. Go ahead and tell everybody what's happening. Everybody, actually, it wasn't a short show. We got a good show in here.
Yeah, it's a great show. Let's see. So it's Friday at this point as people listen. Live tonight on UFC Fight Pass, I'll be on the call for Cage Warriors. They're coming to San Diego. Going to have a pretty good card. Wilson Hayes, the former UFC flyweight title challenger, he is on the card in the main event. Fighting in the bantamweight division, so it'll be interesting to see how he looks. And, yeah, man, Cage Warriors, one of those very influential promotions when it comes to the evolution of mixed martial arts and, you know, where it's come from and where we are today. So it's a great honor for me to get the opportunity to call a great show like Cage Warriors. Obviously, you know, home in the UK, they come over to the States every once in a while, and luckily enough for me, I got the call.
Very cool. Well, TJ, I'm off. I will see you next week. Everybody, I'll see you from the Octagon. Also, my buddy Arnold Schwarzenegger has got this like 9-minute podcast he does every day, or nine minute message.
Okay.
Nine, 9, 10 minutes. Yeah. Check it out. It's really cool. Very motivational. As he has been his whole life. I recommend everybody watch that net special of him on Netflix. Hopefully he's getting residuals from it, but I'm sure he got a big paycheck from it. So he's okay.
Right.
All right. I will see you all from Australia. I am heading out. I will be down under on Friday, and I'll be back here on Monday. And then I'll be in Vegas the following weekend for another show. This is a 3-week roll. So UFC Road Warrior time. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. And everybody set your goals, write them down. Make sure you're the governor of your own destiny, spelled G-O-D, governor of your own destiny, with all respect to the overall power. And when you step on that yellow brick road, Be the best you can be, perform the best you can be, because then you're winning. That's the bottom line. We're all about winning, whether you're first, second, 10th, or whatever. Just be the best you can be and be a role model to your sphere of influence. We live in a decaying society of morality, as the stories we started off the show with. Let's not give into that. Let's stand above it, let's get back to what life should be about.
Let's not say it's decaying. We can come back from this. Let's be optimistic.
Well, that's why I just said, let's...
Yes. Let's win, Buff, like you
said. These examples are decay that need to stop.
We just need to
It's like a cavity.
Right. Bring it to the dentist.
Let's put a top on it and stop that cavity from ruining the tooth.
I can get behind that.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Man, I feel like I'm talking a million miles a minute. I got to get ready. I got to go. Hopefully it's not Delta. Am I flying Delta? Oh, my God, I'm flying Delta.
Delta's great. No one crapped all over your plane. You'll be fine.
It's okay. It's a one-time experience.
I fly Delta all the time, Buff.
No, Delta is great. All good. All right. Enough said. TJ, thank you. Take care. Everybody, big cheers. See you from the Octagon. Down under. Let's put a shrimp on that Bobby and watch a little football on Sunday after the show.
I don't think that gained any fans from Down Under, Buff. You need to work on that.
Say again?
Never mind.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.